There's an old saying that, nothing's certain in life except for death and taxes. But I think there's another thing that's certain in life, and that is that somewhere along the lines, people will hurt you. Someone will put you down or knock you down or slap you down, let you down. Someone will, insult you or hurt you or disappoint you. Now, you can bet your house on it. In Christian terms, someone will sin against you. And it's certain that will happen. And it'll happen probably a lot of times. It's just life. And because that happens, inevitably, at times we will feel wounded. And anger might kind of well up in us and grip us. And maybe we will find ourselves continually replaying conversations or things that were said or things that were done. Or maybe we'll find ourselves fantasizing about how we could, get our own back at the person or people who hurt us. So it's kind of life in this world that people sin against people. And often it's on a global scale. It's gigantic wrongs, but they're also ordinary, everyday wrongs as well. And how we handle these has a big impact on our happiness, eh? I mean, it's difficult sometimes. It's difficult when you really get hurt. It's very difficult to get past it. In my experience, very difficult. And but how you handle it has a huge effect on your happiness, because when people hurt us, it can really mess up our life. And some people stay messed up for a long time. So I want to think with you about how we deal with it when people do us wrong. Now, the Bible is a very realistic book, and it's totally across this kind of stuff. And Jesus, very realistic person, of course. And not surprisingly, the Bible does teach us about how to handle things when people sin against us. And Jesus taught about that. And I want to look with you at some of the things that Jesus taught us what to do. In his terms, especially in Matthew's gospel, Jesus was saying, with me, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, has come into this world. There's this new reign where God is reigning and the Holy Spirit's here. And this new community of light is being created, this community of love and where the Holy Spirit's at work. And if you're in that community, he says, this is how you handle things when someone sins against you. And I want to look at three things that Jesus said about how to handle things. And they're life-giving things. They're absolutely freedom-giving advice, that teaching that Jesus gave us. Not just advice, but commands, really, about how to handle things. The first thing that Jesus said is to let things go. In terms of the ordinary scrapes and knocks and scratches of life, Jesus said, let them go. Maybe we don't, that's not our pattern. You may have grown up in a family where when someone offended somebody else, you hit back. You got back at them. Some of us belong to communities where getting back at people is just par for the course. There's cultures in the world where revenge is just deeply embedded in the culture, getting revenge. Not so much in Western culture, but we still have things like don't get mad, get even, don't we? And there's a lot of getting back at people in Western culture too, in Australian culture. One of the new things that's emerged in Western culture in the last 10 years or so, I suppose, is that when people are deemed to have said something that's people think is racist or homophobic, that seems to be a license for people to say, well, we will absolutely destroy that person and shame them and slam them, and there will be no coming back. There will be no forgiveness for them. And we all feel justified in doing that because we're so virtuous and we would never do that. It's a new version of getting revenge. So that's all part of our families or cultures or our instinctive way of working it. And it was true in Jesus' day too. The Old Testament part of the Bible had taught people, if someone takes an eye, you take their eye, a tooth for a tooth. And this was in their legal system. So if someone stole your cow, you'd go to the court and the court would take their cow and give it to you. That was their legal system. But in Jesus' day, some of the teachers, the Pharisees and others, were saying, well, that's not just for the the legal system, but you can take personal revenge if someone hurts you. That was the situation that Jesus was in. And this is what he said. Here we go, we've got that on the screen. If you were slapped on one cheek, turn the other two. By the way, that was an insult. You know, in their culture, you slapped them on the right cheek. That was an insult. You used your left hand, which was insulting. If you're insulted, he says, turn the other cheek. Let them insult you again. There's a saying, Jesus said, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true sons of your Father in heaven. Now this, as you can see, is radically different to the way that the world works. Radically different. Jesus said, let it go. Don't flare up. Don't hit back. Don't take offense. Don't retaliate. Reply with love. I listened to a talk recently by a very famous missionary named Helen Rosevere. She wrote a lot of good books. She had a tough time when she was a young woman. She was in the Congo, civil war, and soldiers raped her, left her for dead. But she came out to live this radiant life. And I was hearing that she's an older lady when she gave this talk. And she said, I was recently standing in a queue at a supermarket. And there's a young mother in front of me, and she had a bunch of children on her arms and all that. And she really flared up at these children, and she abused the children and shouted at them and really abused these children. And Helen kind of, you know, watched this, and she said, well, do you want me to hold one of the kids, you know? And the woman turned on her, and she abused Helen. And, you know, really flew at her and insulted her. And Helen put a hand on her arm and said, dear, has anyone ever told you that Jesus loves you? And the young woman started to cry. And she said, no one ever said they love me. Reply with love. Reply with love. That's the basic Jesus way. Now, let's go to the second thing, because I'm conscious of the time and I've got to keep within my time. Second thing that Jesus said was, confront the wrong if you must. If you have to, confront the wrong. You know, there's some things I think he's thinking about where something's really serious, confront the wrong. Or something's really chronic. You might have someone in your life who's been wronging you and you've tried to deal with it and they've wronged you again and they keep on doing it. Month after month, year after year, they keep doing the same wrong. Jesus said, confront the wrong. For example, Jesus once, in Matthew chapter 18, taught what to do when someone wrongs you in the church and they keep on doing it. I don't think this is meant to be just when someone, you know, just inconveniences you or just a passing thing, but this is a serious thing in the church that keeps on happening. And this is what Jesus said. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to comment on it because it's really clear. In fact, I always feel that people get sick of my voice. Just, I'll keep going. All right. He said, if a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he or she won't listen, take one or two others along to take the presence of witnesses who will keep things honest and try again. If they still won't listen, tell the church, which means talk to the leaders. Talk to the elders in the church. And the church goes and talks to this person then. If they won't listen to the church, said Jesus, you'll have to start over from scratch and approach the person as if they're an unbeliever. Confront them with the need for repentance and offer God's forgiving love. Well, that's quite clear, isn't it? This is the way to deal with wrongs within the church. If necessary, confront the wrong in this careful, compassionate way that Jesus taught us. So there are times when it's necessary to confront the wrong. Let me say, for example, that you may have had a crime committed against you. you know, maybe a crime like sexual abuse, for example, or domestic violence or whatever. You know, God's a God of justice as well as compassion. And it's quite legitimate to report the crime, to the authorities. If necessary, confront the wrong. You may have been hurt badly in your life, and it really wounded you, you know, it really damaged you. And you've really struggled to get back on your feet. One of the things that often a counsellor will do when you go and see a counsellor when you've got a great wound like that and maybe a lot of anger like that, is that a counsellor will often say, well, eventually I'll get you to the point where you're strong enough, and they'll say, well, now it's time, I want you to write a letter to this person and I want you to tell them what they did to you and how it has affected your life. And for some people, that's even writing that letter is terrifying. But when they do it, they claim some of the ground in this world that it's okay to be in this world. And maybe they don't send the letter, but writing it's helpful. Maybe they do send it. I must say, if I was counselling someone, I'd always say to them, well, don't expect too much, you know. First, it's probably not going to change. They're a bad person. They're not going to suddenly say, oh, I'm sorry, you know. They'll just dismiss it. But writing the letter empowers you. If necessary, confront the wrong. That's the second thing Jesus said. Now, here's the third thing. Jesus said, always forgive. If it's a big thing that's been happened to you, forgive it. If it's a small thing that's happened to you, forgive it. Always forgive. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that Christians always hear it. A couple of years ago, I spoke at a conference on this theme, different talk, but on the same theme. The next few days, about four different people came up to me and talked about it and said, I've had a grudge against you, you know, because I was in a personnel job where you've got to deal with people. And really, all of them, to be honest, they were trivial. But these people had had grudges for years. And they were Salvation Army officers. We don't always take Jesus seriously. Jesus said, always forgive. Let me say what So that day when he gave that teaching to the disciples about what you do in a church, you know, go and speak to the person, take someone else with you. When he'd finished, the apostle Peter said to him, Jesus, how many times should we forgive someone? Seven times? Now, that's actually quite generous. In their religion, the Jewish religion at that time, there was one famous book, the Babylonian Talmud it was called, and it said if someone sins three times, he should be forgiven. If he sins the fourth time, he should not be forgiven. So that was the teaching. So when Peter said, should I forgive seven times, he's been pretty generous. And if you think about it, it is quite generous. Jesus said, no, Peter, seven times 70. Seven times 70, which is 490 times. But it's doubtful that Jesus was saying, when they get to 480, you say, you've only got 10 more, and after that I'm not going to forgive you. What Jesus was saying was always forgive. Forgiveness is to be your way of life in the kingdom of heaven. Forgiveness is the way of life. Always forgive. Now, thing is, it's hard, eh? If you're badly hurt, it's hard. C.S. Lewis once said, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they've got something to forgive. And it's hard. And, you know, things go in our head, don't they, that stop it, you know, we think, well, they have never said sorry. They've never admitted what they've done wrong. And you know that maybe they never will. Or we think there's no justice. If I let them off the hook, there's no fairness here. There's no justice. They've got away with it. Yep. In this world, there's often no justice. In this life, often there's no justice. But we want to get justice. We want to have it fairness. And so we hang on to things. Nelson Mandela, who experienced a lot more injustice for his people than most of us could ever imagine. He said, resentment, he said, is like drinking poison and then hoping it'll kill your enemies. It's them we want to get back at, but we're actually poisoning ourselves by holding on to the resentment. It's hard. Well, Jesus would have understood that, but he knew it. This was important to him. And so Jesus told disciples a story. He said there was once a king, and he had a servant who had borrowed money from the royal treasury, and the king decided to settle accounts with each of his servants. So he called them in, and he called in this guy, and this particular servant owed him 10,000 talents. So he said, I want you to pay up. Now, a talent wasn't a coin. A talent was a weight. And so they weighed silver or gold in talents. That was like, we use kilos, they used talents. A talent was, the amount varied as high as 37 kilos. Let's take it was 30 kilos, kind of an average point. A talent was a 30 kilo bar of gold or silver. Now, if you think about it, that's quite heavy. If you travel overseas, you fly overseas, you can take 30 kilos on the plane. And I'm not going to ask Kerry to carry 30 kilos, it's kind of heavy. This man owed 10,000 talents of gold to the king. It's an astronomical amount. There's one historian, Jewish historian, at the end of that century, he said that the Roman tax on Palestine for 1 year was 8,000 talents. That's the whole country paid 8,000 talents. This man owed 10,000 talents. Jesus is trying to say this is an astronomical amount. Imagine if I said to you, someone said, you've got to come up with $100 million or you're in jail. You couldn't do it. It was astronomical. Jesus said, the king said, you've got to pay up. At which time, the servant, who couldn't repay the debt, the king said, into jail. You're into jail. Stay there until you can pay the debt. The man fell to his knees, and he begged for mercy. He says, please be patient with me until I can pay you back. Well, he would never pay him back. Who can ever pay back that much money? He fell to his knees and he begged, please forgive the debt. Please let me just have time to pay it back. The king looked at him and compassion came up in his heart. And he said to the man, I will forgive your debt. I will cancel your debt. 100 million, whatever, I'll cancel it. Jesus said that servant, he was probably an official, left the king's presence, went outside. And before long, he bumped into a man who happened to owe him 100 denarii. Now, denarius was a coin. And there's a little coin like this. I once owned a denarius, and it's so small I lost it, which is a real shame. But it's just a little coin about the size of an old 5-cent piece. And this man owed 100. That's a denarius was what you got paid for a day's wage. So I looked up. If you were a fruit picker in Australia, you get the pay is $23 an hour. So if you calculated that, 100 times, it's about $18,000. This man owed the man $18,000. What happened to the servant? He got this guy and he said, pay up. Grabbed him by the throat, Jesus said. Pay up. Pay up. The fellow said, I haven't got the money. Pay up. I can't. Please forgive my debt. Please forgive my debt. No way. And he threw him into jail. I mean, even Britain was still jailing debtors not that long ago. It's not unusual. Well, people heard of what he'd done, said Jesus. And they went to the king and they told him. The king was enraged. He hauled that servant in and he said, I forgave your debt, this massive debt, and you wouldn't forgive this guy, this little thing. Into jail with you. What's Jesus trying to say there to us? He's trying to say, obviously, first of all, he is teaching us. Jesus was obviously teaching us that human beings, that our wrong against God, There's our sin against God is a heavy thing. There's a weight of sin in our world. That our personal sin is a mightily heavy thing. My sin is a heavy thing. The weight of pride, the load of refusal of God's will and God's way and God's presence in our life, the accumulated weight of all the temptations given into and all the hurt given to people. Sin is a heavy thing, and it's a costly thing. Can't just cancel it lightly. The Apostle Peter said, when Jesus laid down his life on the cross, Peter said, God paid a ransom to save you, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, it was with the precious blood of Christ. Our sin against God is a huge, heavy, costly thing, and yet God, through the cross of Christ, is willing to cancel it all. Cancel it all. And God, Jesus is saying, God will do that for you, and if he's done it for you, you must forgive others. You must have the same heart. If that's God's heart, you must emulate his heart and have a forgiving heart towards those, even those who've wronged you greatly. Always forgive. It is the way of healing, the way of freedom. How do you forgive? You let go of the right to hurt back. Feeling yourself, I've got a right to let that go. Let it go. But what they'll get away with it, that's God's problem. Let it go. But there's no justice, that's God's problem. Let it go. Let it out of your life. Let go of the right to hurt back. Let it go. Separate them from the wrong. Just take it, let it off their back. Let God sort it out. Not easy. Kerry and I belong to a wonderful multicultural church, Salvo Church at Auburn. And a few months ago, one of the women in the church told her story. I'll call her Maria. She's an African woman, middle-aged African woman. And she told us her story. She had been in her country. They must have had a sort of a military takeover at one stage, and her husband, who was a military officer, became a cabinet minister. So he was, minister of the government, of her nation. And things were going okay. But then there was a military coup, and a different group in the military took power in that country. And this rebel group got control of all the cabinet ministers and others, and one day they lined them all up against a wall, including her husband. And they shot 28 of these government officials, including her husband, just because they wanted to take over the country. And she and her children had to flee and escape, and eventually she got a refugee to come to Australia. She was traumatised by this huge evil that had been done. She said her husband was a good and loyal and true man, and they just gunned him down. She was traumatised. Life became very difficult for her and her four children. And for decades, years and years, life was incredibly difficult. And naturally, she was very, very angry and very, very resentful. But she loves Jesus. And she said to us that day, I kept reading in the Bible where it says, forgive, forgive, forgive. And she said, eventually, I forgave them. Now, she's a very gifted woman. And with other women scattered around the world, they started an organization for the wives of former military officers from her nation. And I guess they meet online and they meet elsewhere, these wives scattered around and also in that nation, former wives of former military officers. And a year or two ago, they had a gathering back in their home country. I forget the country. And She went, and she showed us some slides. And here's Maria, I'll call her, coming down this thing with another woman. And they're both arm in arm and smiling. And she said, that's one of the women that I had a fierce resentment against for so long. And they're smiling. She said, We had this a gathering to welcome us all, and the government was there, and I saw the man who ordered my husband's execution. And I went over to him. He was sitting down. I went over to him, and he saw me, and he kind of, you know, cringed. And she said, "Hello." She said, "It's all right. I forgive you." Later they had a march, a parade, and the military were marching past, and he was in this parade, marching down the street. And she went out into the parade. And again, you could see, she said, you could see him sort of shrinking. And she went up to him and, "It's all right, I forgive you." She's set free. She could have carried that all her life. There's been no justice. He's got away with it. But she's free. He's not hurting her anymore. She's not drinking the poison anymore. She's free. She's got enough stuff to deal with in her life without carrying that burden all her life. Well, Jesus is offering us a way to be free. I got a suggestion, a way to do it. Kind of works for me. And sometimes when I used to do counseling, I used to say to people, go home and make yourself a cross. Get a couple of sticks in the backyard and make yourself a cross and put it somewhere and kneel in front of it. And that's the thing about Jesus' cross, and think, well, he did that for my sin. He's forgiven me. And then bring the person who's hurt you into the picture and think, can't I forgive them? And let go of the right to hurt back. Well, maybe the Lord's talking to you. I've put some sticks across the mercy seat here. You might like to come and get two. You might like to stay and kneel and pray today. Or you might like to take one home. Make yourself a cross. You might like to do it right now. We'll have some music, eh? And we'll just be at prayer. And Jesus has given us his word, and he invites us to respond. And I invite you to come and get across and find healing. God bless you.